Buenos días. ¿Me oyen? Muy bien, claro. Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Buenas tardes, buenos días. My name is Juan Ascension. I'll be speaking today. And I'm going to make it the shortest sermon ever, so rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You might go pick up your kids now. Yeah, we're going to talk about joy, rejoicing. Basically, that's what it comes down to, right? Rejoicing always in the Lord. So let me start by praying. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy, for bringing us here together today, Lord, to just glorify you and to be united in one spirit, Lord. Father, I just pray that you help me, Lord, to speak today, that the words that I speak, that come out of my mouth, Lord, that will be to glorify you, and that people will retain, Lord, what you have for them, Lord, and that you speak to all of us, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And we just thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you, and I love you, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, the main book today is going to be on Nehemiah chapter 8. So, if you want to already get there, we're going to get there in a little while. Also, I have a confession. If this is your Bible, I found that on the last time found, I misplaced my Bible on my house, and when I got into the car, I didn't bring one, so thank you for letting me borrow it. And like I said, Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, right? I was looking at the definition on the dictionary, and it says that joy means the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. So the passion, that emotion, something where you're expecting something, right? The excitement of pleasurable feelings, which is caused by success. So if you're successful, you have joy. A good fortune, the gratification of the desire of something good possessed. So when you have something, right? And it's good what the world says about what joy is, but when I read that, I don't think that's the joy that God talks about in the Bible, right? It's different for us. I mean, some of us at this moment, and we're at different paths in our lives, at different stages in our life, and some of us might not be joyful, right? Some people might already have everything that they desire. They might have their house, their family, the perfect job, everything. But there's still no joy because that's what you're missing, right? So maybe the joy was a moment, a day or two when you obtain whatever you obtain, like the definition of the dictionary was saying. You obtain and you're joyful, but now you might feel empty. Other people might not be joyful because you're still waiting to obtain all those things that I mentioned. And we think that when we get them, we're going to be joyful. But I don't think that's the case, brothers and sisters. I could tell you that the physical things that bring you joy in this world just last for a moment. Again, a day, a week, it's for a moment. And after that, joy comes, he goes, just as it came, and sadness sets again. Maybe we're looking for joy in the wrong places, but guess what? We already have everything that we need to be joyful. I mean, we're here at the church today. We're here because I presume that we all know God, that we all know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for our sins. He came. He dwelt amongst men. He took the sin upon him, right? The punishment that was for us. And he died on the cross and he resurrected on the third day. And he said, you know, where I go, I'm going to go and prepare a place. So where I'm going to go, you're going to be there for me forever. And that's the joy that we need to be looking at. I think we're focusing our attention on different things, not on we're focusing too much on the joys of this world where our joy is already set. God gave us that joy from the beginning of the creation of the world. He said it. He had a plan. He created you, each of one of you, to be with him for eternity, to have joy, to have peace, to have love, to have everything you needed. Not on this world, though. This world is broken. Sin came through one man, through Adam, right? And ever since, it's just been painful. The Word of God says that we need to work, right? Woman will be in pain. That is just what it's going to be, right? Until our bodies are going to decay. We are dwelling temporarily on this body, on this tent. But again, our joy should be focused on what the Lord has done for us, on what is to come. But let me tell you, joy is essential to the everyday life on this earth. It is very essential. The scriptures are clear. It says, and God commanded us, it's a commandment for us to be joyful. You guys know that? It's a commandment. And also Christians or the sons of God are recognized when they're joyful. It's something that comes. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So that should be in our bodies, in our minds, in ourselves, and everything we do. Be joyful. The command to be joyful, sometimes we don't tell people about it, right? Because let's say we know all the other commands, right? And we could talk about, oh, you committed adultery, you stole, you covet. We don't go, hey, you're not joyful today. What's wrong with you, right? We don't do that. It is a command that we need to be involved, that we need to encourage brothers and sisters to do. Sometimes you come to a church. I'm not gonna say, not this church, right? And you talk to a brother or a sister that every time you're like, so what is making you mad this week? Because they're always mad. They're always not joyful. They could never find joy in their lives. But it's not about the circumstances. And they could say, it's because you don't know my life. You don't know what I'm going through. But it's not about the circumstances. It's not about that. The commandment is to rejoice when the trials and the problems happen. And we're rejoicing. Guess what happens? We bring glory to the one, to the Father, to the Creator of all things. And people go, Juan, or Joe, or whoever, why are you so happy if you just went through all this? And you could share the gospel right there and then, be joyful and say, because I have a Creator. I have someone who loves me so much, and I can't wait to be with him forever in eternity. That's why we need to be focusing on always being joyful. Paul put it in writing. And again, he said this commandment, which says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. He even repeats it twice, right? And Paul, at this moment in his life, guess where he was at? As he's writing this, he was in prison. He was a little older, beaten up, probably thinking he was going to die or something. And he's still like encouraging people to rejoice. Are we doing that? Are we finding joy in our lives? It's a commandment, and we could see it in the Bible. There's a lot of verses. Psalms 149:2 says, Let Israel be glad in this, in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Psalms 14:7 says, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. Psalms 97:12, rejoice in the Lord. Psalms 102, serve the Lord with gladness. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout out for joy of your upright in the heart. That's Psalms 32:11. And literally, there's hundreds of more verses that says to rejoice. And not only he tells the people to his people to rejoice, but he also tells the earth, the nations. In Psalm 67:4, it says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And guess who else needs to rejoice? Take a wild guess. In some Psalms. Anybody? It says, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Imagine all the creation. God wants them to be rejoicing on him, on his creation, on everything that he has for us. So it's not just for us. That's so beautifully said when he commands, imagine the rivers. When he says the earth, I'm taking this everything, right? And the heavens rejoice. So why we're still not rejoicing? Let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 8. Now I know why he or she left the Bible. It's a small letter. So Nehemiah was he was a servant to the king of Persia, right? And then he led a group of exiles to go back into Jerusalem to rebuild the city walls. And after completing this monumental task, the focus of Nehemiah, he has done the physical, right? Now was the spiritual restoration of the people. The people gathered as one in the square town. And in Jeremiah 8, chapter 1 says, all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. What's the first thing they do to bring that joy, that restoration? They bring the word of the Lord, right? So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early in the morning until midday in the presence of men and the woman and those who could understand. Now, they bring the word of the Lord, they reference the word of the Lord, and this is a community effort. Look at that. From early in the morning until the afternoon. It's beautiful that we gather here today on a Sabbath, but wouldn't it be better if we also do it during the weekend and read the word of the Lord, the Torah, have Bible studies, talk about it, discuss? It will be good if we start doing that more. My prayer is for this church to start doing that. We need that to gather together for encouragement, for revival, to bring joy in our lives. We are doing other things. We get together. And it's to do fun stuff. And it's good. We need it. We're humans. But also, where's the getting together to study the word of God? To bring revival to our houses, to our church, to our community. Where are we? On Ezra chapter 4, verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood on the wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood, and I'm not going to read all these names, so I'm going to skip to chapter 5. Don't make me go through that. I'm going to butcher them. But verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And he opened it to all the people, and all the people stood. So they're referencing the word. They're standing up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen and amen. And they lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord in their faces, with their faces to the ground. And I'm going to skip this chapter, verse 7, with all those names. And it says, and they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor of Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who tell the people, say to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then say to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to the Lord. And do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen to that. Why were they weeping? Why were they sad? Maybe because they had separated from the word of God. And when they came together and read it and realized, and that kindled, that fire started again in their hearts. And they're like probably thinking, I've been so far away from the word of God. I've been drifting away. Remember when the first time if you didn't grow in a Christian home and you knew about the Lord, the fire that is in you, that you want to just tell everybody about God. And you know, they were grieving. I says, do not grieve. Be joyful. Be joyful. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what I want for all of us today. See where you are today. If you're grieving, if you're not joyful, if you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, another day with the same problems, I want you to be joyful, to be glad. God wants you to be joyful and glad. He wants you to look up to Him, to the Creator of heavens and the earth. And just as the earth and the heavens are being joyful and glad, He wants you also to be like that. We need to be hungry for God's word, just like these people were. We need to reference the God and the word of God, just like these people were. We need to be as a community together, coming together, just as these people were. And we need to rejoice. After that, it says that they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you've never been to a Feast of Tabernacles, we have in one of these churches, you don't have to come to this church, but it's amazing. The first time that I went to a Feast of Tabernacles, I came from a Sunday church, and then I come here, and all I want to observe is the Sabbath. Right? Because from what I read, I'm like, this is not gone away. Why we're not getting together on the Sabbath? Next thing you know, here, I come here, and all these crazy people, they're like, oh, we're celebrating Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of the Tabernacle. I was like, huh? Like, it was all new. I call you crazy people in love, crazy for the Lord, okay? It's not because you're crazy, but, you know, crazy for the Lord. And I'm like, this is new to me. But the veil was revealed. As soon as I started keeping the Sabbath, a lot of things were more revealed, right, to me. And God started working on my heart. Then I went to the Feast of Tabernacles, me and my family. It was the most beautiful thing I ever experienced, because finally I got a little piece of heaven here on earth. And let me explain why. We used to go to Carlsbad, and everyone will stay at the same place. It's not like nowadays, more people go like, oh, let's rent Airbnbs. And you know, for a reason, we do those things. You know, more big families, more economical or whatever. But I remember the first feast I attended, everyone was there. Or 95%, 90%, I don't know. People will open their doors, right, across the hall. My kids will walk to the neighbor. Everyone was from church. That reminded me, and that's a shadow what's going to happen in the future when we are to be with the Lord. When he said, where I will be, I'll prepare a place for you to be with me. And that's what's going to be. My kids will go roam around, not to worry about any harm. We will go and the people will share food with us. We will share food with them. We will hear the word of God every day. We will do praises and worship. And it was the most beautiful thing. It's about rejoicing. And these people, Nehemiah, we're not going to read it, but after they got together and the Lord told them to rejoice, they got again to rejoice that for the next 7 days. And probably they did it for more. We are to come together to rejoice in the Lord always, to seek his face. You know, as part of our lives, as we grow older, and I was meditating about it, things that will bring us joy or sorrow change, right? I mean, when you're a little kid, your lollipop drops to the floor. That's the worst thing ever. Like, you're going to die. Like, that's so much sorrow, right? But also when someone brings you a lollipop, that's so joyful, and kids are so grateful, and they grow, right? But as you keep on growing, those things changes, right? As you get older, like, you experience everything. So you start to realize, like, physical joy is not everything, right? I mean, there's more important things, like, I'm healthy today. My kids are healthy. I have a food on my table. Those are things to rejoice, to be glad. I mean, my wife could tell you that I'm the most joyful when I'm eating a taco. I'm not kidding you. And not only a taco when I'm eating food, but when you get that carne asada on the wood, right? I'm going to give you my recipe, so I'm going to give it away. It has to be over mesquite, right? Meanwhile, that's cooking, you get your guacamole, a little on the chubby, not chunky side, not like so smashed. You want that? Some serrano, some purple onions. And then what else did I put? My wife's. We mixed it, and it was the most. I'm making the perfect taco. She cooked corn. And then she put tahin, lemon, and the cheese, what's it? Cotija, in the corn, right? Imagine getting that and putting a spoon on the taco. So let's go back to the meat. You chop it off with this mesquite flavor. And then you get the tortilla. You put cheese on the pan. And then the tortilla on top so the cheese is burned. Then you pick it up. Oh, everyone's getting hungry. That's my perfect taco. I'm perfectioning it. And then you grab everything with the steak, right? Not so little. The guacamole. Then you get the corn with the cheese. And oh, it's beautiful. See how joyful I got? See how joyful? But the joy lasts for a little bit because then I get so full, and then I can go to sleep, and then I need to, I don't know. But you know, many times we lose our joy or the things that we have. And we need to be reminded that the real joy is the Lord, joy of the Lord. That is our strength. And that joy will sustain us and carry us over to solve all the problems that we have. Many times, I have lost maybe the joy in my life as I go through problems and stuff. As I go through tribulations, as, you know, I'm not perfect, as I maybe sin or something. And you start getting, last time I talked about building the shelter with God and how all the sin is trying to affect you and destroy you and consume you. And we need to be strong in the Lord. But sometimes it's just too much, right? because we don't have everything that we want, all the joy that we need. But let me remind you, and you need to be reminded that the sun rises, and the sun rises on everyone. I don't care who you are. And in Lamentations 3:22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And his mercies, they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning is a set mind that we need to set as we wake up. If you're already waking up defeated, guess what you're going to be for the rest of the day? You're going to be defeated. The Word of God says that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning, as I don't know where you are right now. Maybe I pray that even as we're talking right now, that you will find the joy in the Lord, that you will change your mind. But it's a set mind that we need to get. As we wake up, we need to be grateful. We need to open our eyes and praise the Lord. We need to start setting up our mind on the things of God before we even open TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, our email, whatever it has to be, before even we drink our coffee. We need to be doing those things. Be joyful for what we have and for what is to come. Psalms 34 says, sing praises to the Lord, all you saints, and give thanks to your holy name. Do that as you're waking up, as you're getting ready. Psalms 35 says, for his anger is for a moment and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping might tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Okay? I'm not saying it's not okay to weep or to feel sorrow or to do that. But in the morning, it's like, okay, a new day, new creation, new opportunity to glorify God. If you're going through something so hard and you have people, family around, it's an opportunity for them to show them, why are you joyful so quick? Share the gospel, share the love. If you ever need a new start, a new opportunity, you get it every day, every morning. Let not that be an excuse. It's a commandment. Be joyful. Rejoice always, says the Lord. I sin and I met throughout my life. I'm going to mission trips and even here in Los Angeles and everything. I have met people and I never understood that much. Maybe now that I'm older, I understand it more. But these people were always joyful. We used to have this lady at a church. She was the most joyful lady, sweetest lady. Single, 60 years old, and she will sing praises. She will talk to Jesus every day, and she was married to Jesus. What other joy will you need? Other people will When we went to Cuba, we will go, and people were joyful eating beans. That's all they had. They couldn't even afford nothing, no meat, no tortillas, no nothing. They have plenty of mangoes. They're delicious. I would be joyful eating mangoes every day. But, you know, and these people were joyful. They will walk and walk and walk for 30 minutes, 1 hour, just to go to a service in the middle of the jungle because they wanted to hear the word of God. Over here, it's like, let's go to church. Not today. We have a car, we have AC, the church has AC, and we're like, nah, we're sad and moody and stuff. These people really find joy in the Lord. I'm telling you. I want to encourage you today that joy is not optional. It lands with hope and promises. God has told us to rejoice. Remember that even in the New Testament, Jesus, the man of sorrows, right, as is written on Isaiah 53, he was telling us to rejoice. He said in Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is greater in heaven. And Luke 6:23, he says, live for joy. Rejoice today. Luke 10:20, Jesus said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Imagine your names will be written in heaven. Yes, joy is possible. It's so real. Reach out to your friend, to your neighbor sitting next to you and say, rejoice with me. Tell them, rejoice with me. Be joyful. It is possible. Give him a hug. Yes, Chris. We need to be encouraging people. And I know, again, troubles, tribulations, everything. And if it wasn't plain enough, what I'm trying to put today at this point, the Apostle Paul just keeps on saying, right? He says in Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, rejoice with those who rejoice. If you're not rejoicing and someone is rejoicing, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Why wouldn't you go and unite with them and maybe it will rub into you? Paul says, rejoice always. And then be glad and rejoice with me in Philippians 2:18. Rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 3:1. And now that we're dulled or like we don't take accountability for the pains of life on this age, but in Christ again, we have the hope. Our goal will not be perfect in this life. We would always strain and struggle. We will have our problems and anxieties. We will have our ups and downs. Yet even here we have taste. Not only is the joy is coming, but even just to enjoy and to have a sweet sample of the joy in this earth through suffering. It says in 1 Peter 1:18, though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexplicable and filled with glory. Even though you don't see Jesus, it is coming. You believe in him. And you need to rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible. Again, and just final points, just to close it off. Some points that I wrote down just to be joyful in this life. Cultivate gratitude. Number one, always be grateful to God. Express thanks to God and to those around you. Point number two, build and maintain relationships. Connect with the loved ones. Develop new friendships. Support one another. Point number three, engage in activities. Enjoy doing Bible studies. Enjoy going walking and hiking, discovering, seeing God's nature, and just enjoy life. There's so many things. You don't need money. You don't need a lot of things to enjoy life. You have everything you need. Point number four, read, meditate, memorize his word, right? Limit distractions, set some time apart. I know we all have busy lives, but we could set some time apart for that. And last point I have take care of your health, right? If we are not keeping that, our body, our temple that is given, that we have, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we're not going to be joyful physically or nothing. But we still should be giving glory to God. Guys, I just want to leave you, and I want to pray for you guys. And I want to pray that whatever you are, whatever situations that you would just reach out to God. Remember, we have the hope, the job of our salvation is Christ. There's nothing else on this earth more deserving than our love and everything we have than that. So be joyous always. And I said always rejoice. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for all my brothers and my sisters. Father, I pray that you go before us today, Lord, as we go through our struggles of everyday life, Lord, as you know our hearts and everything, Lord, that is we're going through. And maybe we're not being joyful every day. Maybe we're just have this cloud over our heads and we could not find an answer, Lord. But Father, I just pray that you help us, that you guide us, that you give us the wisdom to seek you in everything we do, that you will help us to be joyful to tribulations, that we're joyful when the tribulations happens. It says not if tribulations happens, but that we will just know, Lord, that you're there, that you have your hand upon us, that you will carry us over no matter the circumstances, Lord. Father, I pray for encouragement upon my brothers and my sisters. If anyone needs to talk more about what your love is and what you did for us, we have people here to pray for them as well after service. And I just encourage you guys that just seek the Lord. He will seek you. He will find you. If you seek him, he will find you. He's not far away. He's here in our midst. And he's just calling your name and saying, rejoice, my child. I love you so much. I gave you eternal life. Just hang out a little bit while I come back for you. And Father, so I just thank you, Lord. And I just thank you for all the brothers and my sisters that are here. Thank you so much. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Amen.
That message one.